Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Insane in the Membrane.
Hello and welcome to Insane in the Membrane's top 10 biggest episodes in no particular order. We're building up to our third anniversary and a celebrity special show with some past belters that might have gotten buried within our almost 150 episodes. Woohoo! Thanks to our patrons, without whom we wouldn't have got here. So, patrons like Steve Sargent and Carl Jones, thank you boys for doing that for us. This episode is from March 2019 and it's with my mate Rob Beckett.
I've never heard yet a good
quad bike story.
Never ends well, does it? Never ends well. Ozzy Osbourne, Rick Mayall.
So we're on. Yeah. Do you know what? Are you looking well? You're good. What have you been doing? Got a quad bike, didn't I? Better than I felt.
Next time I see you, if you say I've got a quad bike, I'm having the keys off you. I'm having the keys.
Better than I felt. I've got six back now. I've not got brain. Yeah.
Mate, well, you have. I mean, you've come a long way, Rob. You know, you're.
Oh, we started.
It's all on, mate.
All right, God. Well, like, hang on, be careful what
now
I said
we're
about.
Now we can edit stuff out.
All right, I've been thinking about that actually because like I started doing like prime time Saturday nights. Like, yeah. If I'm like out for a few beers with like some mates from South East London, you know, yeah. Quite easily turn
you're effing
quite
in a jeffing.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going on a stag do soon, and I thought if they all go to a strip club, I can't go. I just have to go. I can't go, lads.
Can't go, lads. Like, can't go.
Yeah, I bet. Well, also, I don't even actually like them. So it's quite good out. Mate. You don't want to be that guy on the stage goes, I'm actually not okay with this. Yeah. I just find it so awkward and embarrassing. I once was with Matt Ford and we went to, where was it? It was in Stratford-on-Avon, very posh, nice place, right?
Yeah.
So we were in a pub and it was shut at about 12. And is there anyone else to drink? There's like one bar open. I went, all right, well, yeah, but it's like a bar, but it's like a pub, but also like a strip club. He went, yeah, but don't worry, it's like a normal pub. But just out the back, you can get a dance. So it's very. I went, it's the only place open. So like me and Matt was like, all right, let's see. Yeah. We went in it. It was just like a Wetherspoons. Just like a normal pub. There was groups of girls. There was a hen do there. There was just young students drinking, like old men in the corner drink. Like any normal pub. Apart from then, out of nowhere, just like. Girls just walked around in like a bikini going to a dance.
In a Wetherspoons. Oh my God.
He wasn't lying. I thought this bloke, it was like obviously just going to be a strip club, but he was like, going out. And that's like a normal pub, lads. And I remember, I was like, this is awful. It was so weird. But it was like all known photos in there, because there was obviously these girls in thing. But then one of them went, oh, can I get a picture? Because I've been doing a bit of telly. I was like, that's against the rules. I went, what would happen if I asked you for a picture? She went, you'll get chucked out.
So you must be. You have to be so careful now. What you say on Twitter?
Yeah, I've stopped Twitter now.
Have you?
I've still got the account and I use it to like update people on like when I'm touring and stuff like that. But just bits of opinion.
Yeah,
I don't. But do you know what? I found it's made me more productive when I'm writing comedy.
Yeah, right.
Because sometimes I send a tweet and I thought, oh, I've been funny today.
Oh, yeah.
You're like, well, no, yeah. Well, yeah, but to no ends.
Yeah.
But a couple of people looked at it, liked it, or retweeted. What's that actually mean? It doesn't sell a ticket. It don't make you a bit of comic by just going, I've got a funny line about what, you know, so-and-so thing. You know what I mean? So by not doing that, it sort of lit the fire of creativity a little bit more.
Yeah,
I
was
like,
right.
Oh, I want to produce something, you know, rather than just like doing a tweet, sort of makes you feel, you know. And also, you get so much grief back, I can't be bothered with. And also, I found myself not really having an opinion on anything, just having what was the most popular opinion on social media. And I just found myself going, oh, that's what I'm supposed to think. And I was like, but I don't think I think like that.
No.
So I think by not being on it, it's allowed me to have my own opinions a bit more rather than following the sort of party line a little bit.
And the other thing is, I suppose, because you are, you know, you've worked really hard and you've got where you are. You know, you're on a level that, which is what you were striving for.
Yeah.
And social media helps you on the way up, but once you get there, you kind of like.
I don't even know if it does help you on the way up. I think it's good to have a presence. I think some people, it's launched them. Someone like Mo Gilligan,
yes,
launched him, like Dapper Laughs. So maybe it didn't work out well, but it got him from nowhere to, you know, a TV show that it didn't work out for him for many different reasons. But like, it can launch you. But I think really what I specialise is in live performance.
Yeah.
And I can do telly well. I'm good at telly, I think. But in a comedy club, or like, you know, you come on tour with me and stuff like that, that's where I'm at my best.
Yes.
And I think as much you can be as good as you want on Twitter, but push comes to shove, the only reason I'm doing Twitter and Instagram is to get you to come and see me on tour, that's what I love doing most, and I think that's the best of me.
Yeah.
So if I can get you, it's like fishing that on Instagram or Twitter or doing this TV show, like get you in, like, nah, this is what I'm all doing it for,
so you
can come and see me on, like, you know, do what I do best. So, and I think live's never going to be taken away by it's, you know, because even got YouTubers, they've got millions, but all they want to do is see them. That geezer went to the ball ring just before Christmas, that, like, the guy does makeup tutorials on YouTube. He just said, "I'm going to open this shop, like 10,000 people turn up." It doesn't matter how good your video is, they want to see
you. They want to talk,
they want to connect with you, you know. And I think so, like, as much as people get a bit obsessed with, "I've got to have a social media presence, do that one," that's great. But if you're not good enough at comedy, all that won't matter.
There's no point,
because you can get them in. But then it'll be rubbish. There's no point. Yeah.
Do you find, that your comedy has changed? I think it's brilliant that, because a lot of people, they'll start off doing live comedy and then they'll get telly and then they'll leave live comedy behind. They kind of go, "I don't need that anymore." But you started in live comedy and, you know, and you're still hanging on to it. But do you feel that that your television has worked now? You have to change what you do on stage, or can you still be yourself?
I think what's really been good for me is because my telework is basically me, what I do on stage, but maybe slightly not as rude or a little bit less sweary and stuff. But for me to, like, all together now as a singing show that I host on BBC One, it's the most entertainment-y show you can do, and any jokes I can do are very sort of light-hearted and ribbing, and it's basically crowd work that I do that I would be if I was emceeing a club. But that that I'm not changing who I am to do that.
No.
Where someone like Frankie Boyle or Jimmy Carr are both brilliant, but it wouldn't fit right in that world. Where for me, but I made a conscious decision when I did the pilots for any of these, like, BBC One things, where it is like, "Oh, you've got to change who you are now."
Yeah, right.
I said, "Well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go in and be me."
Yeah.
And I'm not changing anything about who I am to sort of fit in what I think the BBC want.
Yeah.
I'm going to be me, and if they like it, brilliant. If they don't, I won't do it.
Yeah, right.
Because in that way, you don't jeopardise anything. You turn up, I'm totally myself.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier. You're not stressing about, "Do they want me to be a bit more like that? Do they want me to be like Anthony? Do they want me to be like Dermot?" Like, I'm just going to turn up and be me, and if they want it, they want it.
Yeah.
I used to say to Ed Gamble before Mock the Week, he used to get really nervous and stressed, and we all did a little bit, but I never used to get too worked up. When he was like, I was like, "Well, look, if it don't work out, I'll go and open a shop." Do you know what I mean? You can only work as hard as you can work.
Of course,
and enjoy it and put as much effort as in as you can. If it don't work, it don't work. Like, there's no point overly worrying about it. If it don't happen, it don't happen. But you just got to, you know, try your best until that point. I think positivity is so key, because it's so hard as a comic, because you get so much knockback, so much rejection.
Oh, God,
you just got to believe, like, just total belief in yourself.
Yeah.
It's the same as when I used to do, like, Mock the Week, right? So, that is still one of the hardest shows to do on telly.
Yeah, right.
It's like, because you basically, on a Friday, I don't want to ruin it for everyone, but sometimes you're not fully surprised by the topics. But on a Monday, basically, they used to send through, you record it Tuesday night, Monday morning, they send through about a million different documents, and then you're just like, "Oh my God, I've got to get loads of stuff." I used to try and have a page of A4 on each, a minimum on each topic, right?
Yeah, right.
Different jokes, and then I'd number on which order to try and do them, or when to get them in and stuff. But every time, just before we went to do it, I was like, "It's not good enough."
Oh, shit.
It's just not good enough. But that, you know, because the negativity starts
But
what I really worked on was that, well, if we record at 6, at 5 o'clock, there is no point continually up until 1 minute to 6 go, "It's not good enough, it's not good enough. Because if you're delivering it with that mindset, like, you've worked as hard as you can on it, so then for that hour, I just tell myself how great that was.
Yeah, right.
This is great. So good. And even if I deep down knew it wasn't, I'd convince myself it was great. So then when I'm delivering it, you're delivering it like it's the best thing you've ever written. I'm a big believer in just, you've got to keep positive, just, and just plow on basically and just not allow to. But yeah. Also as well, I'm not very good at noticing when someone don't like me, right? I don't think I've ever met anyone. Well, I've obviously met people that haven't liked me because it's mental just, to assume that everyone that's ever met you has liked you.
Yeah.
So even if you're the nicest person ever, you have an off day. Right? But I could not tell you who those people are. I could not.
Not an inkling, nothing.
Not even a sausage, nothing. So when I did the first episode of Mock the Week, this was when I first did the episode, it was at the end of it being really tough, when it was like Chris Adamson was still on it. I was on with Chris Adamson, Ed Byrne, Chris Ramsey, and it was still like, because that.
Quite combative,
right? Anyway, I didn't really. It was so intimidating. And I thought that meant like Dara, who is lovely by the way, was going to like call me and go, you talk over me, I'll fucking bash
you. Yeah, right.
I thought he was going to like offer me out. I think for me, that's intimidating.
Yeah.
Not like a roll of the eyes. And the Walmart guy said to me, oh God, you did so well because they were really like gunning for you there. I went, were they?
Completely oblivious.
No idea. No, literally no idea.
And have you always been like that right through your life? Or do you think that's just since you've been doing...
I think I'm a little bit oblivious because I've got a bit ADHD, so I'm always thinking of something else. So I'm not, you know, not very good, you know, to pick up on that kind of stuff. But I don't know, really. I just sort of bounce around from everywhere and just sort of...
Your energy's great. I've always found that with you. Like I said to you, you're always up. You're always on the up.
Yeah.
Like, even, I imagine you, of course you do. You're a human being. You have days where you're like, oh, fuck this.
Yeah, 100%. But I'm naturally sort of like on the up, but then I do have massive like lows and like... And like when I was a kid, like people just assume that I've always been like, I'll go out and do a big gig. But I remember like I'd get like, if I just dropped a glass, I'd cry.
Yeah,
one of them kids, like nervous kid, anxious, worried, and then like petrified of doing talks in front of people at school and all that kind of stuff. I'm really nervous and worried. And then it's only through years of doing gigs that I've got more. When I first started, I still talk fast now, but I was like, because I was so nervous on stage. Yeah. But just by repeating, like, keep doing it and doing it, you sort of get more comfortable and kind of just like hours on stage. And, you know, if I am down and not feeling right, I might listen to like motivational videos on YouTube, or if it's all too much, I'll do mindfulness. But I am up, but I have to, it's like a chemistry, I have to balance that.
Yeah, right, to work at it.
With like uppers and downers of like audio, basically.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
So I have to, and sometimes I'm too up. And I have to bring it down with mindfulness. If I'm too down, I'll listen to like an Eric Thomas thing where he tells me I'm the best thing that's ever existed. But you just got to just sort of balance it out. You know
that's
I mean?
Really interesting.
Yeah.
I think that's... I can't listen to sad music.
Oh, really?
Because I really love music. Yeah. And my missus is always like, you can't listen to sad music. What's wrong with you? I go, because it makes me sad. I don't want to be sad.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm battling that sadness all the time.
Yeah.
I want to be positive, like, you know, like yourself and moving forward. I can't. I don't have time for melancholy. And
but it's sometimes nice to embrace it. So if you're feeling a bit sad, just go for it, whole hog.
Yeah, right.
And sometimes
sort of weeping outside of a rainy window.
Yeah, but then I sort of find that quite funny. Well, I think, how sad can I try and make myself?
So even you being negative is still a positive.
Yeah, but then that's the way to look at it. Do you know what I mean? Because I remember Steve Coogan saying a thing once where he was really upset about something. He was crying, like really like. You know, like when you're like broken hearted as like a 19-year-old, so I'm like, you're like really just on your own in your room, and he sort of clocked himself in the mirror crying. He went, it's quite funny, isn't it, grief? Just being so like,
just broken. It is good when you have those. I've had those moments where I've just collapsed and just I'm bawling my eyes out, and for whatever reason, there is a definite feeling of catharsis. Like afterwards, you feel. Yeah. Oh God, I feel better.
Yeah,
so it's out.
Yeah, but I can be like, oh, I can go for a stage where like I feel like absolutely unstoppable. Like I'm gonna fucking do anything I want. This is ridiculous. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The point where I'll be like, what are we having enough for the mortgage next week? I know for a fact there is enough for the mortgage.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, at least you can look at the bank and go, right, we've definitely got at least 3 months, right? I know for a fact.
I'm all good.
But I will be worried about the next month, even though it's sort of totally. Like over the top of catastrophic thinking for no reason, but then you just sort of I use a lot of like you know mindfulness and CBT and stuff like that to sort of acknowledge that feeling.
Yeah.
Sometimes if I'm feeling really fed up or like got no like respect for myself and just like you're not actually any good. Well, that's negative.
Right.
I write bullet point every one of those negative thoughts right. And just log them. Then don't go over them, just put them away, put them in a bag or whatever. Yeah. And then either make a conscious decision when I'm feeling up to look at that list, and then I write my response. So it's almost like my negative brain actually talks
wow.
to my positive brain. So then I go down and sometimes I laugh at it, but I can't believe at some point I thought I weren't any good at this.
I'm a legend.
Yeah, exactly. But then hopefully you're back somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, right.
And that, but that, I've done that before and that really helped where yeah. I had that written down on one side and I was looking at it and I'm going, that's insane. I can't believe I thought that.
Well, that's the thing. We're lucky to do what we do. But at the same time, like everything, it comes with its own stresses.
Yeah.
And it sounds like you've got a handle on how you handle those
yeah.
stresses. You got your things that you do. And
well, when I started 10 years ago, and then after about two or three years, I got a job doing the I'm a Celebrity,
right,
Get Me
yeah,
Out of
yeah,
Here
yeah.
Now, which was a massive show on ITV2, still is, obviously.
Yeah.
Gets like 1 or 2 million viewers, which
amazing.
Is massive, right? Yeah. So that for me was a great opportunity, but I went on and I was very green. I was all right, but not as good as Russell Kane, who I was replacing.
Right, yeah.
Russell Kane is one of the best live performers
yeah.
in the country. Yeah. Like, when he's on full, on a tour, he's incredible, yeah. right? So I was following him after him doing 3 years, and I was all right, but I got absolutely killed on Twitter. I'd say 100 tweets after every show. Who's this shit fat idiot? Like, so stuff about like my what I look like, my weight, my comedy, just yeah. everything, you know, just abuse and abuse and abuse. So like loads of it. And it was all quite new social media then as well.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
and then
yeah.
But my followers are going up and all that. But it was just like, and it was 21 days in a row of doing the show.
And every day was just
yeah,
some
so I had to work nights. So you just got picked up at 10 at night,
yeah.
got taken to a jungle, I had to watch the show and I had to write 3 minutes of stand-up
yeah, right.
about the show with no writer or anyone, just on my own.
Wow.
And then we rehearsed it and I did it live on the show at 8 a.m. in the morning.
And had anyone gone over it to go...
It was Steve Parry, who's a brilliant comedy
oh, I know
writer,
Steve. Yeah,
writes
yeah, yeah, yeah.
the actual words of the show that like Laura Whitmore would use to present the show.
Right.
And he'd come with me and go over it and like work yeah. through it with me. But he had another job. He only did that because he was a pal and he was yeah. being helpful. But I had to write 3 minutes of stand-up every day, and some days were good, some days were bad.
Wow.
And I had to write a bit for the end. So it was really intense.
And this is your
show.
First big TV
first
job?
TV thing. Also, I've never even done a school play. I did some open mic gigs, did the Edinburgh Fringe, got on the telly, and now I'm just on the telly. On my own. No idea what I'm doing.
And you're the other side of the world as well.
I didn't even have a laptop. I had to buy a laptop for it.
Yeah, can they lend you...
And I'm in the other side of the world in the jungle doing nights. Following Ant and Beck.
Oh, man.
So I did 21 shows in a row.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. Brutal schedule. Killer. And then I just come home and I'm just so down. I just killed me. Exhausted
yeah.
me. And I had all this negativity coming about me.
Yeah,
and everyone was going, all my mates thought I got paid like £10 million. So they all thought, you didn't really. It was like good, decent money, but it weren't life-changing money.
No.
Like, it was just like, it was basically, that job was like having a decent office job.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
I had to work 1 month for it, right?
Yeah.
Which is good, but then...
And you were getting sold out abuse.
Yeah, but I don't fucking work anywhere else. So basically, I'm just the same money as my mates was working in an office. Everyone thought I was like king of the
yeah,
telly.
Yeah, yeah.
And then loads of people shouting and stuff at me from like, because basically I come back from that and I was basically famous.
Yeah.
Like in that small world of
yeah,
people
yeah,
that watch
yeah.
it. Not like mega famous, but.
Well, I remember when you and I, we'd go and play squash.
Yes.
And yeah. then there was it was one time that we were just queuing up to pay and there was. Yeah. You could see people, they weren't necessarily coming over to you. But
it was
a
different reaction.
Yeah,
and it literally went from, like literally within a month, and I didn't notice it gradually because I was in Australia, and I come back after a month, and it was like, oh, you're a bit famous now. But like instantly, it weren't any sort of slow process because 2 million people watching you every night for...
They just knew you.
Yeah, and it was all just like normal people in the street type people
watching
that show. So then I found that really, really difficult. And I just wasn't coping with it, really stressed. And then I was really just down. So then I went to the GP and then they just referred me for some like counselling sessions.
Yeah.
So I had like, not like 10 counselling sessions all on the NHS. And that was amazing. It was really good because I could talk it all through, work it all out.
Brilliant.
And then I read the Ruby Wax book, The Same New World, which was like my Bible of calming my brain down a bit. And everything she said she went through, I was like, oh, that's what I'm like. And I find a lot of stuff about mental health, the books are too wordy and too academic.
Yeah.
This book's great because Ruby studied to be a psychologist because she'd got like mental health problems, been to the Priory and stuff. She studied to be a psychologist and said, okay, I understand how to help people with these problems, but why is that happening? And they went, well, I don't know, speak to a brain doctor.
Right.
So she studied neuroscience at Oxford.
Really?
So she's got a degree in neuroscience and she's a psychologist. So she's done both sides of it. So she knows why it happens.
Yeah.
And she knows what you to say to make you feel better about.
Holy shit.
And improve it. And she does a brilliant live show.
Yeah.
Save Your World. And all this, and then the book's amazing. So I read that, did loads of CBT and then did mindfulness.
Right.
Meditation, which really helped. And then recently I do the, if I'm lacking a bit of confidence, do like, you know, motivational things on, the same thing. I listen to if I'm going to the gym. Do you know what I mean? But like, I might listen to that before a gig, just to pep me up a little bit, like an Al Pacino speech from any given Sunday. But that, yeah, so that basically that counselling, I've never really had to go counselling, but I haven't had to go counselling since, but it was just such an influx of just pressure, instant pressure, and I was exhausted,
and no one had warned you before.
No, I had nothing, and I sort of like, here you come, Rob, off you go. Like, they were lovely on the show, and if I asked for help, they probably would have helped me, but it was just like chucked into the firing line almost, and it was just too much. But the counselling helped me bring it all down, calm it, and then I, throughout the counselling, they gave me like CBT stuff to do and mindfulness, and then that now keeps me on the right path. The same way, if I get a fat belly, I go on the treadmill. If I'm getting a bit stressed and down, I'll listen to motivational speaking or do mindfulness.
So you've got things in place
or read
now.
That book or do a scene. So I've got the things in place which help me keep it level.
So it doesn't
go too far one way or the other.
See, that's really interesting because when I was growing up, I know I'm a bit older than you, but that people like men talk about feelings and men having going to see a counsellor, which I've had counselling as well. I think it's important. I think everybody needs someone that go and talk to someone. But growing up, you would have been seen as, like, oh, what are you doing that for?
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't very manly.
I think it's changing a little bit now. Like, it's still got a long way to go. But I think, people are just aware that you just need to just talk and get stuff. It's, you know, because, your brain's just a part of your body the same way as if you was limping into the pub, your mates wouldn't go, well, are you going to go and see a physiotherapist? What, are you some sort of fucking tar? Physiotherapist, just limp and be sad. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, just deal with it, mate.
Yeah, I've got a broken arm. What are you going to go? See some doctor or something, you loser. But it's just, the thing now is just that people have to accept it's just a different part, you know, of your body. The same way, it's like, if you're diabetic, you're allowed some insulin. No one goes, fucking pussy.
Have another sausage, mate.
Who's this absolute pussy regulating their sugar? Emily Dean's got a really good podcast. She does called Walking the Dog, and she asks a lot of people that question, like, what is it you think when you leave a room? Like, what do you think people are thinking about? Like, which is quite a question. Like, I think sometimes if I leave a room, like, people, what could be as negative, I see as a positive, people go, God, he's relentless, isn't he? He don't stop, does he? And for me, I'm like, yeah, I know, it's great. And that for me is like, when people say to me, God, you're relentless, you don't shut up. I'm like, yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Busy, I've got stuff I want to do. Like, I want to just
living life.
I'm like, I'm fucking loving it, mate. Do you know what I mean? So, like, I sort of, but I'm very good at any negative, I think it's just through practice, just turn a negative into a positive. That's like, so I'm quite good at being able to do, and I enjoy twisting it. So if anyone's like, oh, well, that'd be good because of that. Forget it, move on.
That's what I've always liked about you. Every time I've spent time with you, there's definitely, you do definitely come away from you feeling buoyed, and you kind of go, well, I'm pumped, mate. Yeah. Like that first time I came and did your radio show, Absolute.
Oh yeah.
And I'd never really done it before, and it was about football, and I don't really follow football, so I was all nervous. I'm like, what am I going to talk about? Oh God. And as I walk into the brand new painted fucking doors, I dropped my coffee and it went everywhere. Everywhere. And then you come out, you went, what are you doing? I went, oh, just done. And you're like, oh, all right, we'll sort it out. Don't worry about that. You were just so like, it doesn't matter. Come on, come and do this. Yeah. It's all right.
A lot of got on in radio studios in the 80s, mate. People kept jumping at me. It's been a lot worse than that.
But even that, you're just very, you're very good at just picking people up and going, yeah, we're doing this. Like when we've been on tour, you know, and I've supported you on tour, and just, you know, after I've been on and you've been really positive about what I did. And it's a credit to you, mate. So whatever you're doing, it's working.
Well, I think it's more of a happy accident than anything I sort of planned. I just think it's so hard. It's so hard what we're trying to do. But life in general, whether it's comic, like if you're not a comic, listen to it, it's so hard to go to work, make sure that you're there for the kids or your mum, your dad, your brothers, but they're for your mates. It's so hard to do it. And like, you feel like you can't do it. Like, if you don't believe that you can do it, then why should anyone else do it? And I've always been, you know, quite a good, like, I feel like I've always made a good salesperson. I could just sell stuff. Yeah. So I can just, even I sell myself. I sell something to myself. If I'm like, oh, that's not going to be very good. I'm like, yeah, well, Rob, because of that, and just bullshit. It's mainly bullshit.
Yeah.
But like,
but it works. Yeah, of course it is.
So as long as it gets you through it.
It's nonsense.
I've got to put, like, and it's the same with, like, gigging now. Like, I died on my ass a few weeks ago, like, this corporate gig. And, like, but, like, brutally died on my ass.
Oh, really?
But, But I've got to the point now where I will still deliver it like I am smashing the O2. I will still. I'm dying inside. Like
my, yeah, can, you, are.
You know, sort of that, like you know, like in the Back to the Future when he starts just falling away from the picture. That's how I feel. I feel like my body's just falling apart, and it's just a head trying to talk. And that's how I feel as well. But I've got good at just looking like,
yeah,
this is good, isn't it? And then I came off, walked that door, and I was with the tour manager. I just sprinted, just ran away. Because that was a proper fight or flight reaction. I just sprinted back to my hotel room. Because I had to like have the release,
because
I'd sort of been putting up that wall. And I was like, yeah. On the drive back, I was so funny, I was just sitting there like in silence. And then occasionally I was going, oh.
Just like, going back over it.
And then it's like, the promoter person was like, okay, yeah, well, that, but in, to be fair as well, it weren't that bad.
No.
But for me,
you've got a certain level that,
I mean, like, people watch it, there wasn't complete silence, there were people laughing at bits and stuff like that. And it's not me trying to big myself up on that, but like, people say, oh, God, it's dead, but like, it was bad, but they wouldn't really have noticed that much, because if they saw my gig the night before and then saw that, they'd have gone, that way well wasn't as good as before. But like, it's more like your own self.
Of course it is, yeah.
And like, I was like, yeah, it was a good one. Yeah, really respectful crowd, really listen, really intently listen. And that's me, like, but I will forget that ever. What if a bad like memory of something? I will just forget it happens. If someone goes to me, I remember that time that gig. No, and I'm not. No. I genuinely go, oh yeah, but my brain just goes, get rid of that.
What I lug it about?
Exactly. So yeah. I'm quite going to just drop it because then the tour manager bloke texted me this morning and he missed a couple of turnoffs on the way back and he texted me, oh, thanks for last night. I was like, sorry, I was a bit of a div, missing a couple of turnoffs, but got home in the end. Yeah, good gig. And I was going, because I hadn't had his number saved.
Obviously. Yeah, right.
Who's that? Oh yeah, that bloke, that giga died last night. No, because my brain had already deleted it.
Just gone like, nah, no point.
There's no point in that being in there. Because if you keep it in there, I'll be on stage on tour, and all of a sudden, it's sort of going okay. So you go, remember that time you died? Yeah. Oh my God. Get out.
I did that recently. I have to physically tell myself to stop worrying about stuff I did when I was 10. Why are you remembering that? Like there was I was thinking about, cause that was it. It was last year, so it was 2018, and then I'd gone 30 years ago. I left school 30 years ago, and then I had that job at Curry selling tellies, and then I decided I didn't want to go, and I was crying down the phone to the fella because I didn't want to do it.
And it's all that shame.
And I'm going, and I'm like, what am I lugging that about?
I know
that bloke doesn't remember who I was.
Yeah,
just some kid from the.
It's the same with like sometimes I used to worry like what I was wearing a lot,
right?
Like. Going out for a night out. Remember that?
Yeah.
What I'm going to wear. Then at one point, I had a realisation. I was in a bar. I went, no one cares.
No.
Because they're all worried about what everyone else is thinking about their outfit. So you've got a room full of people worried about what everyone thinks of their outfit, but no one's looking.
No one's looking.
Because they're all worried about their own one. Yeah. And I went, this is great.
Yeah.
I don't have to care now. Because they don't care.
No.
They're worried about what they've got on. So it's like, I can do what I want.
Yeah,
no one gives a shit.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I think as well, I've been quite lucky, but my mum and dad have always been very like positive and confident and belief in me all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And like really sort of like quite wise things were like, I mean, once I was at uni and I tried to become the entertainment officer, which basically meant you booked the entertainment in the week in the union. I thought, that'd be a great job. Basically, start trying to get into comedy, but not doing it properly. And then I lost out. You have to get a vote, and I lost out. And I went to, I just texted him. I went, I lost the vote. She went, no, you didn't. They did. And that was it.
Yeah, right.
Right? And I was like, what? Was that? They whatever, Mum. Yeah. But I was like, but what she didn't do was go, it's okay, baby. Do you want me to come round? She didn't pander me, but she went, no, they didn't. You did. So quite a matter of fact.
Just that but just, positivity boom, just again, a little,
you know, and stuff like that. And whenever I've done these like big shows or big things, I remember I was putting Russell Kane on tour, and that was the first time I did Hammersmith Apollo, right?
Yeah,
right. And that was the dream to do Hammersmith Apollo. Whether, you know,
yeah.
Doing it in your own name was just like, no, never going to happen. But like, just to be on that stage. And I texted my mum, and she was on another day. She went, oh, no, sorry, we can't come on all day. I'll come when you do it next time.
What?
And I was a bit like, what do you mean you can't come? And I was like, just even in that text of when you do it next time, it's like, the absolute.
And I did do it next time. Yeah,
she
smashed it.
But it's that thing where like, there's just little things she said, and like the other took this, and like, when you do that, like, get big opportunities, you always say, oh, just because the situation changes doesn't mean you have to.
Yeah,
so
right.
So you can start telling yourself, oh, like I say, oh, doing Absolute Radio, it's like proper radio. Yeah. The reason I booked you is because I want Rich Wilson.
Yeah, so the
worst thing you can do is adapt your behaviour.
There you go.
Because, and just because the situation, oh, like you're in love with the pilot, oh, God, just go out and do your set.
That's
like,
why
just
you're there,
the situation, you don't change, the situation changes.
Brilliant.
So you just turn up and do you. But then the other thing that she said, which is right and really haunting, about happiness, she went, you're only as happy as your unhappiest child.
Oh, my God.
I was like, oh, yeah, oh, my God.
All right, so I've got to go. Thanks, Mum.
It's true. But now I've had kids, I'm like, that's so right, because you are. I could be living the life. But my daughter comes up and goes, they won't play with me at school. I'm like, well, my life's over now. I can't enjoy anything ever again now. I've got to sort this out.
Yeah. It's so true.
I could be on Netflix. Yeah. You could have like, all the money in the world, O2 Arena sold out, bush, boo, boo. Like, absolutely, I'm the king, yeah. One of the kids comes home saying that, you're like, oh no, look, that doesn't mean anything.
I'm done now.
And now I'm like on the stage of the O2 going, oh, maybe if we just get a couple of the other kids over for a play date. Yeah. And I'm trying to do.
There's your head on big screens in the side.
And in my head, just thought, yeah, maybe. Because she did say one of her friends likes pasta. Maybe we could do like pasta making.
But it's good that you still have that, you still have one foot in reality,
because
it must get to a point, you know, with what you're doing, there's a lot of bollocks in this industry.
I can see how people turn into like dicks basically, but I think what's been good for all my family are very like normal, and no one's up my arse at all. It's like, so just like when I come out, I had a really bad gig, died on my arse. I said, I text my wife, it's awful, it's terrible, I just feel horrendous. She went, it's okay, we'll just like think of the money and you know, get paid and you know, come home and it's a new day tomorrow. I went, yeah, I know, but it's good money, but I don't know if I should do it because it's like making me feel, you know, that's so stressed. And she went, yeah, you'll be all right. And can you get some ham from the services?
Yeah,
like, two texts there, she's going to wait 10 minutes.
Didn't even give you a moment. Anyway.
And then I got in at like midnight and went to bed about 1 a.m. like last night, for example. But I said, my wife had been up with the kids all week, so I said, no, I'll get up with the kids. Yeah. So I'm up at 6. I could quite easily be like, oh, no, actually, I've got to do a TV thing tomorrow, so I want to let me in that. But you could, but you know, but I think, no, I want to, that's more important than that. And stuff like that. So, like, but you can see how you could get a little bit precious and go, actually, I've got to do this thing. It's actually quite stressful, you know, what we've got to do. But like, it's as stressful as you make it, do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I think Seinfeld's a great example of how to do well and be happy.
He's done
transcendental meditation for years. Yeah, that's what I want to do, but you have to do like three or four days in a row, 3 hours a day. I'm like, oh yeah, I'll get that gap when I, oh sorry Lou, take the kids, I've got to do a bit of transcendental meditation.
Absolutely. Then I'm going to put this flotation tank.
Exactly. But I think he's a good example of someone who, if you love the craft, then nothing else matters. I see people in this room going, oh, getting picked up in my Merc today, going to do telly stuff, and I'm like, look, mate, if you're a big dog, you get picked up in a Merc every day. You ain't a photo opportunity, and you ain't a big dog yet, because you're still taking pictures of it. Do you know what I mean? If you were genuinely are smashing it, this ain't a novelty to you. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, that's brilliant. So, you're still taking pictures of it. Oh, God.
You ain't doing that work. If you think this is newsworthy,
you ain't
smashing it. Because when you're really doing it, that's day to day.
As it is.
And it ain't my day to day yet, but no. I know people who it is, and they ain't taking pictures of it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, mate, that's brilliant. That's fucking brilliant.
It's so true. And then they start going like, yeah, just live my life here. Just don't hate at me. I'm like, no one gives a fuck about you, mate.
Stop putting pictures up.
Yeah, exactly.
I found it. There's been a couple of times you end up, I've ended up in VIP areas in clubs and that. And you go, this is shit. I'm in a roped off area, or the rest of the club having a great time.
Yeah.
I'm stood in the corner with this.
Getting stared at.
They go, who's that fucking knobhead? You know.
But I've never really done all that because I think I came into it a little bit, not late, but I was like 23 when I started. So I got my getting drunk out of my system. I hit it hard from like 18 to 25 years of working in London, going out and drinking, and sort of got out of my system a little bit. Where I was like, I love doing stand-up. So my ideal like night out is to go and do a gig.
Yeah.
I fucking love gigging. Like, sometimes it's not if you've got a drive to the middle of nowhere or you've done 10, but like, if I've got a bit of time off perfectly, like, let's go to do a gig in a nice club. We're on the bill with like mates, like you're on a mates, and then a couple of beers after.
Love it.
Like I just love doing it. But there's people that get into it because they want to be famous. They love the idea of being a comic rather than the actual graft of doing it.
Yeah, right.
And I think they're the ones that get a little bit, easily caught up and get a bit flash and stuff like that. And sometimes not many comedians are like it.
No.
Because you've got tangible skill.
Yeah.
So like when I go out and I get you do a gig and they love it.
Yeah.
I'm I feel content. That's good feeling. And also, people watch it and go, oh, he's good.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're sometimes if you're like on telly, like reality star. So then sometimes I act like a bit of a star in order to get the respect. So go, I'll leave him waiting and all that kind of stuff. But what I do is I ring people bang on the time I'm telling them I'm going to ring them a bit earlier to be really keen. Because that panics them more than ringing late. Everyone rings late.
Well, that was it. I mean, I've done a few of these now, and I've gone to people's houses, and I've made a point of being on time, because I don't know, I just don't want to. I don't want to think I'm a dick. I'm doing this. I'm just professional.
My aim would be like to get to, like the biggest comic like going that could be a prick and get away with it, but still be really nice.
Yeah,
I think that's even more powerful than being a dick. Isn't
it? Man,
it's a bit more like panicky, isn't it? If you're like, you should be a knob. You can get away with being an asshole.
Yeah, man. That's it. If you can get up there, and you're not far off. You're not far off. You're at that point where you've got there on your own terms. You haven't been a dick to anyone.
Yeah.
And that must be an amazing feeling. You know what I mean? That.
Yeah.
Because you never.
I still feel like I'm a new comic coming through, but then I do bits and bobs and I go, actually, no, you're like, and it's weird because you don't want to sound like you're being flashy, but like, no, actually, you're on the telly a lot now, like, you're hosting your own show type thing, and you're on stuff that's on, like, it's not just like when I first started and you do like 50 greatest plastic surgery shockers, nothing wrong with doing that, but you can't, it's like, you sort of are on TV, but you're not on TV, and that's a weird little middle area, but I just sort of, I still just think, oh, hopefully that'll get recommended. I'm still in that same mindset. Yeah, just like, I hope that, because it's all going well now, but like, I've got like two or three shows on the telly, which is great, but if the Channel Garvey don't want them back, I've got nothing.
Yeah.
I've got a tour, so I go on tour, and I'm not gonna starve, but it's very quick to go from, you're the bloke off the TV, to go, did you used to do TV?
No, yeah.
It don't take long. And the key thing, my plan is, the main thing I think with anyone doing comedy, whether you're on telly or not on telly, is it's just managing the plateau, because everyone's career goes zoom at whatever level. So if you're McIntyre, vroom, to 10 RTO2, or if you're at a different level where you go vroom, and you do really well, you're like, oh, I've got my own Radio 4 sitcom and I sell out Soho Theatre for a week.
Yeah.
Amazing. Like when I first started, I just wanted to be able to get on the circuit. So you get up to there.
Yeah,
but then there'll be a point where McIntyre does 5 RTO2, and the person that done the Radio 4 show and the Soho Theatre does a week and does 3 nights.
Yeah.
But both McIntyre and that person have got to get their head around not being wanted as much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though that person doing the Sophia is going, what do you mean you got the unbelly doing 5 nights? But there'll be someone on the circuit going, oh, what I'd give to have a Radio 4 show.
Yeah, man.
Oh, I can't believe you're moaning that you only get one, and that you're like, you can only do 3 nights at Sophia.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it?
And then that person that's in all the clubs, there's someone below them going, yeah, but I can't even get an open mic gig now. And you get to do all the crap. So, like, everyone, at whatever level you're at, goes through the same feeling, because it will, it goes up and then it levels out a bit. But it's just, as long as you're okay with it, where it levels.
Yeah.
Because it's fine now, like, you know, taking pictures of the Murty getting picked up. It'll be in Addison Lee within a week. Which is still great. You're still getting a cab to work. It's still amazing. Don't lose sight of that. Don't sit in the Addison Lee with the hump. And that's the
It's so true, man.
And then that, but then McIntyre might be at the point going, well, I haven't got my own driver now, I've got to just get a Merc. And I'm going, it's not easy when it's my own car. Yeah. But as long as you're okay with that drop off, accept it,
keep an eye on it. Yeah.
And people, you know, read The Secret now, go, if I just imagine it, it happens. Well, it won't. It might for a bit, but it will drop off. You can imagine it as much as you want. Why don't you start imagining it dropping off a bit and just make sure you're ready for it so you don't have a full mental breakdown? Because it's going to happen.
Start doing a Noel Edmonds and asking the universe.
Well, I imagined it, but I'm still in an Addison Lee.
Did you ever have imposter syndrome? I've recently, the last couple of years, I feel like I've earned my place. Yeah. So I don't feel out of place in green rooms now.
Yeah.
I feel like when I'm with like some of the older comics or people going longer than me, I don't feel like they're above me now. Yes. I just feel like I'm part of it.
Did you ever have that? Always have those moments a little bit, but it's human nature. You think, what am I doing here? But I don't know. I think in comedy, the results are so tangible.
Yeah.
That if you are getting the laughs, why should you feel it?
Yeah.
My career was a bit, it did accelerate quite quickly because I went to Adelaide and got back in an hour for 3 weeks. I did an hour every day for 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So I come back a lot more advanced than my peers because I've been going 3 years, but I had the experience of a 6-year comic, basically, because I did so many hours. Yeah. And when I first did Out of 10 Cats, I remember sitting there and I felt like, oh, I've got a good seat. I didn't feel like I was on the show. So it's weird. I'll have moments where I'm like, oh God, I shouldn't be here. Then moments where I'm like, no. But then it goes back to at home, I'll have those moments.
Yes.
Or once I walk through that green room or work in that TV studio, even if I deep, deep down feel like I don't deserve to be there, I am there.
Right.
So feeling that won't help.
No.
It's not going to help, is it?
Yes.
Even if it's the truth. So you've got lies. I went, well, if I weren't good enough, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
Not only am I good enough, I'm the best one. Have that mentality. Yeah. And even if you don't believe it, but just try and force yourself to believe it.
Yeah.
Because then you'll act like you're doing it. Yeah. But it doesn't help to walk in and feel, oh, I don't deserve to be here. Because it's not going to help you do your gig either.
No,
and also then
right.
They're winning if they're giving you a bit of shit.
Yeah.
So I did the Jonathan Ross show with Kevin Hart, right?
Wow.
So it's Tiffany Haddish and Kevin Hart. And now I'm going on after Tiffany Haddish and Kevin
Hart.
So even now, I've got speaking, I'm remembering I'm nervous. So I'm sitting there going, I've got to follow Kevin Hart. Kevin Hart, I would say, is one of the, if not the biggest comedians in the world, right? And also, not only that, he is the best on a chat show, isn't he? He's so energetic. And if you think I'm up, he's up. Do you know what I mean? And he's up now because I'm like worrying now because I'm like, oh God, but if he's too up, then how can I be up like that? And then I was like, you've got to go for it.
Yeah.
You've got to give it some and not back down. So I think you really sort of respected that I went in and give it some and was trying. I was going, no, leave it. I kept calling him Kev and stuff like that. And then he started bigging me up in the end.
The way I saw that when he picked up my tour.
And I think it is a bit and I thought there was no need to worry because I'm no threat to him.
No.
At all. I'm just a British comic on this show, right? And I've come in full of energy, positivity, and trying to be funny. I'm not mugging anyone off.
No.
Trying to be, and then I remember actually, we're as much as we all slack off other comedians, or there's comedians I can't even watch. I think it's all their stuff's awful.
Yeah.
But I always respect them,
of course,
as a comic because they get up and do it, even if I don't like it. And you know, people do like it.
Yeah.
I would always go, even if I think you're rubbish. I've got that union with you that we go through that same thing that actors and singers and they don't do.
Yeah.
We do this, and I think on that show it was a bit like that, where it was like, I'm going to big you up because I know how hard it is what you do thing. And he was really nice to me and stuff like that. But I could have really bottled that and really packed. I remember, who did really well. Ian Sterling did really well on Jonathan Ross when Peter Kay was on it.
He had
to go on after Peter Kay was on. But he was hungry Ian as well. And that little bit of nervous energy helped. And he had a really good set, as it were, on there. And I think you've just got to, even if you don't feel worthy, feel as unworthy as you want at home.
Yeah, they're not doing you a favour by having you on. There's a reason you're on. Yeah.
But at home, you can think, I don't deserve this. I shouldn't be doing this. But once you walk in there, switch.
You meant to be there.
I remember Alex Ferguson's book. He said when he goes out and does a press conference, and I do this sometimes before I go out and do a gig, he's like, they want Alex Ferguson.
Yeah.
They don't want what you're feeling at the moment.
No.
And like, as much as I'm Rob Beckett, said, I'm the Rob Beckett that is presented
as
a comedian.
Yeah.
I ain't real. I don't walk out and go, oh, I have a nightmare with the kids at home. And sometimes there's jokes like that, but it's not.
Yeah, but you're not.
I'm not actually catching up with mates. You're delivering a performance.
You're performing,
and,
yeah.
You know, and Alex Ferguson's like, some days you feel like I've got no energy. I'm not that fiery, confident, passionate, successful manager.
Yeah.
But that press conference is waiting for Alex Ferguson. So you've just got to turn it on. It's going to work, isn't it?
Yeah, of course it is, yeah.
It's just a hobby. I love it. Like, you aren't going to work, you've just got to go to work.
Yeah, in order to keep those gigs coming and that, yeah.
Well, yeah, you must be GPs or surgeons, like, oh God, it's a tough thing, but you don't want to go and go, oh, I'm not sure if I can do this surgery. Get away from me. Because you probably can, but it's just a mental thing telling you can't.
Yeah,
so
I've
just worked really hard at switching to, I can do this.
Yeah,
even
brilliant.
If I genuinely think I can't.
Yeah.
And then after a while, when you convince yourself so much, you don't really know if you think you can or you can't. You just go out and do something.
I mean, and the more you do these things, the more you're used to it.
I think less and do more.
Yeah.
It's great, people like, and you know, at the moment, there's a big thing like, I just want to analyse how that makes me feel, what you said. And I think there's definitely a space for like counselling and stuff like that. But sometimes, it can be black and white.
Yeah.
You can just go, I'm just going to do that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You can't overthink why you're doing it or what you're doing. Just do it, especially with comedy, because you only get better on stage.
Yes.
You can sit at home going, yeah, but why does that bit work? Just go and do it and find out.
Yeah.
Think less, do more. And just do it, and then you'll find out on the way.
I mean, that's what it's so important now that, yes, we need to have these conversations, and yes, we need to be thinking about, you know, the way things are, especially the way men have behaved in the past, and men we've grown up with, not that we've been out on a night out and they're all a bit, fucking smashed into that.
Yeah.
You know, and you're going, oh yeah, but really in your head, oh fuck, this is horrible.
Yeah.
But not doing, you know, so, but at the same time, you can go too far the other way.
Yes, and overanalyze everything you've ever said and stuff like that. But I think, you know, that's a bit more of a different thing with, like, you know, pulling people up on what they're saying. But I think it's like an individual personal thing of, if you're worrying about a thing or doing a thing, just do it.
Just do it.
You just got to go and do it. And like, and you'll surprise yourself with like the adrenaline when you're
there.
Like,
even
just like going for, like, trying to get a bit fierce, going for a run, just get up and go out and walk. You just walk around the block and come home again. But then the next night, do it twice. Do you know what I mean?
That's it, yeah.
I think I would waste time going, yeah, maybe if I got that pair of shoes.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be good for my feet, because the way my body's built, or yeah, but maybe if I cut out, great. You know, like, just do something.
But it's funny, isn't it? It's just that I've said this to people before. If you just do whatever you do differently to what you did yesterday, it's still progress.
Yeah, exactly.
So if you just go, I'm gonna have a cup of tea, I'm not gonna have a biscuit with it today.
Yeah,
just a little thing.
Yeah,
and then it gets to a point you go, oh, I've not had a biscuit in ages.
And if I can't find that motivation, that's what I put on like a YouTube motivation thing, and then just get up and walk to that or do something. Just, I don't know, just, I think sometimes you can sit and plan and procrastinate and go, let's just do it, just get it done. Well, we went and bought curtains within a minute. We went in there and curtains feels like something that could spend weeks.
Yeah.
And we went, just get some curtains. Like, I mean, they're the curtains, you can see, Rich. They're just quite plain curtains, aren't they? For me, the best curtain you can buy is a curtain no one notices.
Yeah, right.
I've never noticed a nice pair, but I certainly noticed some shockers.
See, I go the other way, I like them bright and...
Well, yeah, that's your thing, isn't it? Yeah. But for me, I'll probably think your curtains are awful.
Probably.
But for me, they're great. Just plain, you don't even notice.
They do the job, stop mucking about.
I can't see the sun. That's what I'm here for. And people can't see me at night.
That's it, yeah.
And really, like, when we booked it, someone, oh, you've decided on curtains already? I went, yeah, sure. What do they look like? No idea. Perfect. Couldn't tell you what they look like.
But they did a job, and
they did a job. It's not even like about, like, you know, having more money to be able to do that. It's like, I remember I used to beat myself up because I'm a bit of a perfectionist. Like, if I was making, I was like, oh, I'm going to make Lou a bit work, my wife a bit work, and I'll go, oh, I'll make some guacamole. I'll make a homemade guacamole, nice. Right? And I go out, but I couldn't find any coriander and limes. I'd find myself driving like five different shops because I've decided I've got no. But then recently I was just like, I'm not going to have guacamole. I'm going to buy a pot of it and never think about it ever again. So just do it. Just get that. Don't not go. And instead of going, oh no, I did think I was going to do it. And I have said I'm going to do it. And I'm trying to please people and trying to please my own weird effect. Just do it. Just get that. And don't even think, oh, just pick up two pieces. It's done. And just like, and just sort of really shorten decision. Because you can spend weeks for going, like, oh no. Well, because you have to, like, you know, like, oh, what door handles you want?
Oh, I know.
I don't care.
But that just being immediate.
But then you're not worrying about it, and it's like, and there is something in that thing of like, I know, you know, Einstein had one outfit, didn't he?
He did,
He had seven suits, with like seven shirts and seven ties, and he just wear that every day. And there's something in that. Like,
there is
the thought of just like just taking this thing, taking unnecessary decisions out of your life.
Yeah,
or just have that. Don't try and overcomplicate it. And, you know.
See, that's the thing. I've got a billion pairs of shoes.
Yeah.
I've got all these scarves and hats and sometimes like that, I wish I just wore tracksuits.
Exactly.
What's wrong with me? I'm making work for myself.
I know, but if you're into fashion, it's different, isn't it? Like, I'm just really trying. I think maybe as well, when you become a dad, and like, especially at the stage I'm at, I've got 1 year on a 3-year-old, it's like, you have no time anyway, so I'm not waiting. I will suffer like a shit film just because I'll just watch it.
Yeah.
I'm not just gonna, you know, I just think
I don't need to think about anything.
I don't want to.
Or like, when you're driving around Bromley looking for figs. I did that the other day. I was in Shoebury Ness. I was driving around. And my missus had gone, we just need figs, go with the cheese. I'm like, are you fucking mental? And then they went, no, I haven't got any. I went, how can you run out of figs in Shoebury?
But then it becomes, that ruins your day. The fig drop. Like, and I find myself getting worked up. And then you're having a bit of road rage with someone.
Over figs.
And then.
And you go, who am I?
What? Yeah, but what does it even matter? You don't have any cheese. But I said I would.
Yeah.
Say you won't. But you get what? That was what the Ruby Wax book's really good, because she said she got obsessed with a certain type of blue cushion. She spent hours and hours trying to research and find this blue cushion.
Yeah,
and
right.
She was like, what's it matter?
It doesn't matter.
Because like, I think that's the thing, you get so used to something anyway.
Yeah.
The arguments we had over these sofas, I couldn't even tell you what they look like. I think I've got a grey one and a blue one.
You just decide, it doesn't matter. But it's funny, isn't it? Growing, like, when we, again, going back to how we grew up, you know, very working class. I never had mayonnaise until I was 19 when I left home.
Mayonnaise?
Yeah, never had it. It was all salad cream and it was all very basic indoors. So now I'm arguing over figs.
I think we've just got too many options.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I listened to your The Magic Sponge podcast. And again, I don't follow football, but it was interesting listening to that, listening to Paul Merson, and I listened to, what's his name, David Bentley.
Yeah, he's mad, isn't he?
Yeah, and it was really interesting. You go, wow, there is that laddie kind of, that we've grown up with.
Yeah, I still existed in football.
Yeah.
Very laddie, that.
Shitting in things. There's a lot of shitting in things.
I don't know what happens to men, but they will just shit in things if they're in a group
together. Yeah, women don't do that. But I don't know any stories of, I was out with the girls, shat in her handbag.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't really happen. It's an odd... But then maybe that's because, you know, girls, because of society, are expected to be like, you know, like sensible and pretty and, you know, like, oh no, don't ruffle anyone's feathers blokes can get away with that.
Mate, are you all right for time? Are we good?
A bit longer if you want.
So I've just clapped. That's good, man.
Yeah?
Yeah, we're good.
Wicked. Cheers, man. I've enjoyed it. I don't know what we spoke about.
It doesn't matter. This is all about having the conversations and showing everyone that we're not sex offenders.
Yet.
There's still time. We'll edit this out.
Insane in the Membrane.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.